with us on a journey into the unknown, the unexplained, and the unbelievable. We will test your senses and challenge your beliefs. A world where science and religion clash. Or do they? You will meet real people and hear real stories, but you will not believe. You will witness strange sights and hear strange sounds, but you will not believe. This is the New England Ghost Project. Welcome to the nightmare.
Good evening, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good midnight in Scotland. Welcome to Ghost Chronicles. What the hell are we? Next Generation. I am Ron Cork, your host, the gatekeeper of the realm of the unknown, the unexplained, and the unbelievable, yada yada, Van Helsing. With me, my co-host, the blonde bombshell herself, Ann Kerrigan.
Well, hello, 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 everybody. How are we all doing tonight?
Yep.
We're alive. Tell Ron's in his usual good humor.
Live and alive and well. And joining us all the way from the land of the coup is the hairy coup on top of it. Is the.
Who's he?
What?
What?
Go ahead. Steve Scott.
Hi, good evening, guys.
Hi, Stephen. Did you say a hairy coup?
I have a hairy coup. Steve brought me over a hairy coup last time he was here, and it's on my Christmas tree every year.
It was a healing coup.
A hairy coup.
A healing coup and a hairy coup.
A healing coup.
Not a healing. A healing, as in the Highland. There's a Highland coup.
Ah, okay.
A healing coup.
Damn English.
What?
Scottish, whatever.
Scunglish.
All righty then.
Brack.
Good drink. Good to know.
Drink.
Oh, that's God. Irish.
Yeah, you hear something funny, Steve? You know how we just have something in our mind, and it's a lot of times it's not right. At least I do it anyway.
No kidding.
Like, but when I always think of Scotland, I always think it on top of Ireland, and I know it's not. But I always think of it like it's above Ireland, but it's not. It's above England.
Well, technically, we are above Ireland,
I know.
Speaking, but only a bit.
Yeah, but I always think of you as Northern Ireland.
Oh,
that's kind of political. I'm sure half of Scotland would disagree with that.
Wow.
Yeah. I know, it's just something in my mind that geographically speaking, I always think of Scotland as above Ireland, and so where Northern Ireland would be.
Right.
So right. I know it's wrong, but...
It's because it's Celtic.
Yeah, I know. It's sad. I'm a sad person, can I tell
you? Yeah, we agree.
Yeah, anyway. So, Steve, for those who don't know, Stephen is a spiritualist medium and a long supporter of the show. He's a member of Deadear Society on Patreon. Yes, he contributes to keep the show on the air, so you have him to thank for this mess. I mean, for this show. Yeah.
Someone else is a member.
Who?
Who?
Yeah.
Of Patreon?
Yeah.
The Blonde Bombshell? Hello?
No. Do you pay $3 a month?
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Okay. Thought I did.
No, you don't. Look at her. She's trying to say she subscribes when she doesn't.
Okay.
Oh, she's blonde. That's okay.
Maybe you just threw me in there. I thought I subscribed.
No, I gave you a freebie on that one because you're my co-host. My co-host, so I got you on for free.
Throw me out and I'll rejoin and then I can pay.
Oh, she wants to pay?
Yeah, I'll pay you.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Double the income, man.
There you go.
Yeah, now we're going to have two subscribers.
I'll give you $3.
Me yeah,
and
really?
Steven, you can go get coffee or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but Steve's doesn't really work out $3 because his money's worth more. So it's really like $2.50 in Scottish money.
No, it doesn't work that way. I get charged the British equivalent in pounds of whatever the dollars are. So you still get your $3.
No, it doesn't matter. It comes out to $2.50 or something.
Wow. Oh, now you're going to complain about your Patreon member.
That
all right.
Tax,
I see how it
tax.
Is. Okay.
I'm just kidding you.
Not anyway, good enough.
You too can become a member of Patreon and join the rest of these people.
Yeah. Scotland, and then whatever.
All right, so on a serious note, yeah, right. I've been asking this on all the shows, and I've done it on the Next Generation with somebody.
Next Generation.
One of my co-hosts. I can't remember which one it is, but I've also done it on the morning show and on the international as well. And this is a Dear Abby article. So, oh, Dear Abby, if you don't know who Dear Abby is, Stephen Scott.
I can get the I can understand the gist of it. It's a kind of like agony aunt or something.
Raggedy
or
aunt.
Is it agony aunt?
Agony aunt. Aye.
I'm trying to speak proper so one can understand what one is speaking. And the kind of person you would write into a newspaper or a magazine article and look for advice. That's what it sounds like
that's
to me.
Very good. Exactly. Very astute of you.
We call them agony aunts over here.
It makes sense. Aunts. It absolutely makes sense. Agony aunts.
As in, you would talk to your aunt with all your problems, but you might not talk to your mother, you know, for some bizarre reason.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, what's the question, Ron?
That was intriguing.
Throw it out, us.
Oh, yes.
Like right. Miss Emily in the old Kolchak series.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I still watch it. I've got it. I've got it on Apple.
Kolchak?
Kolchak, not Kojak.
Wait a minute.
No,
it's my people. I tell you how he goes. You just...
Kolchak, not who loves you, baby. No, Carol Kolchak. Yeah, not Kojak.
No, we don't. He doesn't suck lollipops.
That's
although
right.
He has a seersucker suit, he does.
He has a seersucker suit. He does indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
The suit and the lollipop are not the only thing that sucks right now. But okay, continue.
Whoa! Was that a comment on this show?
So
no,
lost.
Not at all.
I'm gonna kick you out of Patreon and lose the $3.
just for the privilege.
Oh God!
All right, moving back on.
Sorry, Ron.
No, you don't be sorry. I started this whole mess. I mean, I deserve what I get. You know,
okay, no problem.
So,
you know,
tell me your problems. The answer is either 42 or put cream on it.
My God, you must be psychic. All right. So this is an interesting one. It really is. Of all the Dear Rebbes I've read through the years, and I'm a religious reader of this woman, because I still get the newspaper, believe it or not, in this country.
Wow.
Yeah. Pay $40 a month for this lovely newspaper. My wife likes the crossword puzzle in it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, moving along. So Dear Abby, I need a second opinion. My grandfather sold me the old farmstead that has been in the family for 200 years. Last week, he showed me a wooded area behind the barn with a human skull in it. He told me that when his father died more than 50 years ago, he was curious about how long it would take for the body to decompose. So he left the body in the woods to keep track of its progress. And he has for 50 years. He has 50 years worth of notes and pictures. He told the rest family that Grandpa had died and been cremated, and nobody questioned. Yeah, cremated, and nobody questioned him about the ashes. Mm-hmm. At this point, the skull is all that's left. I checked with the law, which tells me that in my state, no laws were broken. That said, I don't want my grandfather's skull sitting in the woods behind my barn. My husband says, this is a woman, you can tell. My husband says I should quietly bury it and burn the pictures and notes and forget about it. That just doesn't seem right to me. It feels like I'm helping my grandfather get away with something that feels icky. And that's a quote. Should I tell the rest of the family or continue allowing them to believe that great granddad was cremated? I resent my grandfather for putting me in the middle of this, and any advice you have would be greatly appreciated. So here we go. Who wants to grab this first?
Go for it, Stephen.
One, I think it sounds like a really good joke by the grandfather. I would get the skull. I would get a DNA test. I would find out if it is actually family related to you. If it's not, I would go to the police and say someone's skull is in my back garden. And that's basically it. Other than that, you know, it's...
Should you tell the rest of the family?
Does it matter?
I don't know. You're telling me. I know my results. I'm just wanted to hear what you have to say.
Well, if the body's cremated, if this is from a religious point of view, where the body has to be kept whole after death or kept together after death, which I always find strange, is that people say, no, you know, it's not right for us to separate the body, so we didn't donate organs or anything because my grandmother wanted to remain whole when she died, and then they shake their ashes out as a wind blows. It just seems ridiculous to me, that. And then you have that kind of thing. So if there's a head in a field, first thing I would do is I would find out if it is genetically linked to me, and if it's not, then I would go back to the police with it and say, I think there's a dead body in the field.
And?
Sorry, I was going to say one more thing.
And go ahead.
I take it the whole body was left to decompose in a field, and only the skull remains.
Well, you know, the animals take the bones.
Predation, yeah, but they would scatter the bones. But
you know, the coyotes ran off with the bones, and took them home, gnawed at them, and
the neighbor's dog.
Yeah,
whatever. You know, they find an arm bone, and people take it off them and say, "Oh, that was humorous."
All right.
Sorry. Yeah, that's my take on it. Get a DNA test and put your mind at ease, or not.
Ian?
All right. So the grandfather is the one who's out in the field, or the grandfather's father?
Grandfather's father.
The grandfather. So the great-grandpa.
Great-grandpa.
Is out in back of the barn.
Yeah.
And he lied and told, I'm just recapping to make sure I have my story straight.
Yep.
Told the family he was cremated, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. What should she do?
I think I am on board with Stephen in finding out if it is actually the great grandfather. If it is, I'd say let it lie. Let it
literally and figuratively.
Leave it alone. If he didn't do anything, is it creepy? Hell to the yes. Wicked creepy, but I don't see anything like weird against the law kind of creepy. I'd leave it alone.
I'm just thinking,
found he was actually related.
Yeah. You know. Is it not against the law though to tamper with human remains and not dispose of them properly?
No.
Because it is here.
It depends on the state, and I'm guessing because of this state. If that she's in, I'm guessing it's probably a Western state, which would make sense. So you want my 2 cents?
Okay.
So first of all, I think that it's not that icky. We don't know the relationship between the father and the grandfather, the grandfather and his father. So, you know, it may have been something that the father wished, you know, and the other thing is we are, I was, and many of my friends were, acquaintances, I should say, were amateur scientists when we were kids as well. We did things to see how they worked. So this guy went through this experiment, and his father rotted in the woods, and he went there every single day, took pictures and took notes. So he has a 50-year diary of what happened to this grandfather, or his father. And to me, what she should do, if it really bothers that much, and if actually she shouldn't, even if it bothers that much, is that she should take the notes and the human skull and donate it to either a college or university or a crime lab or a, you know, similar type of thing, where his work, 50 years worth of work, won't be wasted, and his father remains won't be, you know, lost in the woods for nothing. There is a thing, and people say, well, that's cool. How can he do that as his father? And then I say, okay, how many of you have gone to your father's grave since he's died, and how many times? And this guy went every single day for 50 years. So to me, that shows more love than a lot of people in this world. So that's my thoughts on this particular situation. And the other point is, she said she wanted to put the middle in. She's the one that bought the farm as well. He didn't, you know, he didn't sell it. He sold the farm, but she was the one that wanted to buy it. So you get what you pay for.
Okay. All right.
But that's my thoughts on it anyways.
I'd also like to think she'd maybe give him a decent burial since he's been laying out in the woods for 50 years.
Why should we? And a lot of cultures, including the Indians, some Indian tribes, they have sky burials where they take the body.
Yeah, they do. That's right.
They let the vultures and everything else eat the thing away.
Collect
and
the
that's considered a very holy burial.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have any problem with the remains being there. I would just want to make sure that this is not an excuse for, you know, I hated my neighbour.
Yeah.
You know.
A what?
I hated my neighbour, so you know.
Oh, so he killed his neighbour?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. The first thing I would want to do is to find out if it was who it's supposed to be, and if it was, just leave it, because it's not doing any harm out there.
If you donated to a lab,
agreed. Which, yeah,
you know that.
But then you got to explain it.
No,
the findings and results would be interesting.
It. What's wrong with it? So if it's not illegal, what's there to explain?
I mean, in all fairness, there's a part of me thought I would love to see the results of that. That's quite interesting.
Wouldn't you like to look up through those books?
Yeah, I would actually. Yeah. I think that'd be quite interesting.
Pass.
That's right. But anyways, it's such an interesting, you know, story or advice that, you know,
I think it's out of Dear Abby's wheelhouse.
Okay.
So to
you
speak.
You don't want to know what she says?
Oh, sure. What does she say?
Your letter is a first. Yeah, no kidding.
Uh-huh. You think?
Why do I get the impression that your grandfather must have hated his father to have treated the remains with disrespectful? The farmstead, which has been in the family for 200 years, by the way, and everything that goes with it is yours now to keep up and dispose. What you need to do is decide whether to donate your great-grandfather's skull to a medical or dental school or coven.
Coven!
Place it in a what's a columbarium?
Columbarium. That's where you would put the ashes.
Okay, columbarium, or bury it on your property. Right. As to whether you tell the rest of the family what positive things would be accomplished by sharing this unpleasantness with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Because the response is very biased towards it being an unpleasantness, but. And no,
well, she says it's icky. She says it's icky. Yeah, so that would pretty much sum it up to me.
But at the same time, you could also state that the grandfather honored his father by doing that.
That's true.
So it just depends. I find that word unpleasantness very leading.
No, depends on how you look at it.
It is. It's you know, excuse me. I think it's an intriguing thought about it, and I'm not offended as much as some people do. I know a lot of other people aren't offended as much as either, which is kind of interesting. But I think it's the way you look at life in general versus, just way each person looks at life in general. But anyway, intriguing, very intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite. I like I said, I've done this 4 times, and I'm just curious of all the different answers, what people think of how they look at it and so forth. But anyway.
All righty.
So there you go.
So at the end of the day, it's just tissue. It means nothing.
It's what?
It's just tissues. It's just material. It's, you know, it's carbon left behind.
Yeah, like I tell Jen, I don't want to wake. I don't want anything. It just, you know, cremate me because it just solves a lot of problems and stick me in a chock full of nuts can and I'm happy.
All right.
So there you go.
I'll know where to find you.
Your body is, you know, what is it? It's nothing but a vessel. You know, something that holds who you really are.
That's it. In the spiritual world, we prefer the term meat sack.
Yeah.
I'm making that up before I offend anyone, but yeah, you know, meat bag.
Yeah, Steve didn't say that. The spirits told him that.
That's right. Oh my God. Okay. All right. That's good to know.
Good to know. Okay. So anyway, what else did I want to think? Oh, I did want to mention too, which was kind of interesting. It goes a little bit along with this is that on the international show, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I had an anthropologist who is taking a lot of flack because she designates skeletons as either male or female. So a lot of people in this world right now are upset about that fact.
Oh my God.
Because there are.
Is that the same people that are scared to fall off the edge?
Yeah. But it, you know, it the gist of it is, and you have to look at things purely on the scientific basis, and which goes along with this, is the body is just the body. It's not who we are. Right. It's our soul, our makeup, our intelligence that's what we are and what lives beyond death, hopefully, or dies with death. But it's not our bodies, so. Nature gives us our bodies, whatever it is, and that's how you classify things accordingly. So get off it. Don't get your panties in a bunch overnight.
Well, it's your genetically, biologically, you are born a certain sex. That's how it is.
Yeah, the pelvic bones are different between
body,
male and
your
female.
Your body is born a certain sex, but you're...
Correct. You are either born a male or a female of the species.
Oh, we actually have cases where we have people with male and female organs.
Okay, but however many instances... 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10.
They are abnormalities, though, which
right.
We got to
you
understand.
Are either born as a male or a female.
Right.
Where you choose to go later in life is certainly your choice, but anatomically, biologically, genetically speaking, you are either male or female. That's how we all start. That's our that's how our life starts.
Mm-hmm. And
so
I actually know someone who has undergone skeletal alteration to change their hips because they're undergoing a gender transformation right now to go from what was male pelvic area to female pelvic area.
So
they won't be able to have babies, though.
That's not the point. The point is they feel more comfortable being
feminine
inside.
I was wondering why they were doing it. It was not for genetic person. It was for more psych. I'm not... judging, by the way,
I know where you're going.
Yeah, I don't have any judgment. People can do what they want to do. You know,
the producer has chimed in on this one. 1.7% of the populations are born
intersex.
The parents and doctors make the call which gender to go with. And then perform whatever necessary surgery.
Wow.
That comes from Roy, our producer, and not necessarily that. And it's 2 minutes, so we wouldn't even get a chance to fly on that one. Okay. Yeah, you sneaky.
Thank you, Roy. Thank you, Roy.
Thanks. Thank you for that.
That is very interesting. It is.
Yeah. So it's still only 1.7%.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite high when you think about it.
It sounds high, but I don't know completely what
But if you imagine that, if we took that as a statistic, if you had 100 people at Spirit Quest, then theoretically two of them would have been judged intersex, and their actual physical makeup would have been changed. No, statistically.
I don't know where he got the statistics from, so I can't.
Yeah, no, but that's just an interesting statistic when you put it into that terms.
Yeah.
1 in 50 yeah. almost.
See, a lot of times when we get statistics and information, we don't know where it comes from, and until we can really, you know, source it, then it makes it, that's someone's opinion until it's sourced. So that's the way it is, and we all know the internet is not always the best source. But we do have to take a break, so you're listening to Ghost Chronicles, well, if you're still with us, The Next Generation, right here on TojiNet with Ann and Ron and Stephen Scott from the land of the hairy coup, right here on TojiNet, brought to you by Circles of Wisdom, 286 Merrimack Street, Methuen, Massachusetts, the Glant Messier Family Law Group, 15 High Street, North Andover, Massachusetts. And our very good friends, like Stephen Scott on Patreon, who help support this show from $3 a month or Scottish money, $2.54. We'll be right back at the following messages.
Do you have a paranormal event, book, or something else you want people to know about? Then why not advertise it on Ghost Chronicles Radio? With over 150,000 downloads a month, get your message out to an audience that's interested in the subject. We have a plan at a cost that fits your needs. For more information, contact Ron Kolick at anyghostproject@comcast.net or call 978-455-6678.
Located in Illinois, there lies a sleepy little town where nothing is a common occurrence.
You going to that party in town tonight?
Heck yeah! I only turned 18 once.
That is until the night of celebration.
Where the hell is she? Oh no. No, 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 Jessica!
What's happening?
From the creators of Shadowhunters, Bite Me, comes a tale of primal terror and grindcore mayhem. Shadowhunters, kill Jessica, kill!
Can you hear me? My name is Harry Price. I am speaking to you via the medium of the Ghost Box. Many of you will know I carried out the first live radio broadcast from Haunted House way back in 1936 for the BBC. Now, thanks to the wonders of modern technology, I am still able to keep abreast of 21st century ghost hunting by listening to Ghost Chronicles International on TogiNet, ParaX Radio, The Ghost Channel, and even on something called a podcast. Two splendid chaps host it. One is an American who calls himself New England's own Van Helsing, although I have discovered his real name is Ron Kolek. The other is Stephen Parsons, and he's a paranormal scientist. Well, mustache, I'm required elsewhere on something called a K2. But don't forget, I'll be listening in every Tuesday from 8 o'clock in Great Britain and 3 o'clock on the American Eastern Seaboard. I trust you will join me there.
And welcome back to Ghost Chronicles Next Generation with Ron and Anne and our very special guest this evening, Stephen Scott, all the way from Scotland.
So sorry he stayed up till midnight.
Regretting every moment.
I know it.
I never do.
Oh, we know.
So, Stephen, I have a bunch of questions to ask you, and because you live in a country called Scotland, and a lot of people don't know a lot about Scotland.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
You know, we have a lot of ideas about it, but you know, I mean, what's it like? How is it different? You've been to the States before. How is Scotland different than the States, for instance, New England?
How's it different? We have footways, which is footways. Places at the side of the road that you can walk, that can basically take you from anywhere to wherever you need to go. Footpaths and footways, yes. So every road in the UK usually has a footway, which is a raised, like, kind of tarmac section for people to walk on. That was one of the things I noticed in New England. There wasn't a lot of that. We have what is generally a very good public transport system that can get you almost anywhere in Scotland within a couple of hours.
Does it run on time, or is it like the...
No, it runs on time, and these trains run usually every 30 minutes, 1 hour, whatever, throughout the day, all day, 7 days a week. That was the one thing I noticed, because I remember saying to you when I was coming over, my wife and I will just get a bus or a train or something, and I could hear the quietness on the line at the time, and it was like, yeah, it's not going to happen. Yeah, so, and... other than that, it's really not that different apart from the grim weather.
What about the countryside? Is it hilly? Is it
all of the above? It's mountainous. It's got hills. It has populated towns and cities. It has quiet rural areas. We get the same fall colours, which you might not be aware of.
In Scotland. We weren't aware of that.
And that's really about it. It's not. I think for the most part, a lot of humanity, particularly English speaking humanity, we all tend to kind of act and do the same things. We have a different culture. We have a lot more local pubs and things like that in Scotland. Yeah. Well, in the UK in general, it's different. The licensing laws are very different. Almost any shop can get an alcohol license very easily, and they can sell alcohol if they wanted to, so you don't need special things like that. Mm-hmm. But other than that,
Neds.
We have Neds, but yeah. You guys have Neds. It's just a different type of Ned.
Yeah.
So Neds, for those who don't know it, are kind of like juvenile delinquents, but they tend to wear tracksuits and skipped hats. As opposed to AK-47s and Glocks.
I love America.
And God bless it.
What country gives you a bulletproof breath for your birthday? Bulletproof vest for your birthday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you need stab vests over here. I mean, knife crime in the UK is crazy. It's escalating.
Really?
Yeah, it's really bad over here. It is really bad over here.
Wow. Do you have guns?
No, well, there's gun crime. There's a lot of gun crime, but it's nowhere near as prevalent as the US. Buying a gun over here is very difficult. You need lots of different licenses and everything in place. And I know a guy who lives on a farm, and he's got like a submachine gun, automatic rifle, assault rifle, bolt action rifles. Where I live here, we're in the country, so there's a lot of guys who have rifles, but they're licensed to use them, and they're licensed gamekeepers and hunters, so they keep the deer population down. Mm-hmm. So it's little things like that. It's not really that different. It's just slight weather changes, and we have history going back thousands of years.
Oh,
in Scotland.
Yeah.
But right. you know America's a bit more modern than that. A couple of 300-400 years old now, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But that's the only difference, is that we've got old buildings and things like that, and it's really nice to see, but that's it. We're all very blasé about it. You know, it's like, we see, you get people coming over from the States, and they're like, oh, wow, look at that, that's amazing. That giant castle, you know, how long's that been there? And it's like, it's not a castle, mate, that's somebody's house.
No.
Does the Queen live there? No, no. Wee Bobby that owns the chip shop, he lives in there. You know, that's about the only thing. And then the biggest difference is the place names. I remember having an argument with an American. I don't know where they were from, but they were asking for directions to Edinburgh. And I said, that's Edinburgh. And he said, no, it's Edinburgh. It's like Pittsburgh. I said, no, I know about Pittsburgh, but it's Edinburgh. It's not Burg. And, you know, some language differences. But other than that, we're just like little close cousins that were separated at birth as part of a genetic experiment gone horribly wrong.
Well, you know, we just took the sensible approach to things, whereas you English have just... what the hell are you? United Kingdoms? No, we're United Kingdom. Yeah, you're United Kingdom.
That's it. Backtrack, pedal. Just keep digging. Keep digging.
Yeah, you're going to get a dial tone in your ear in a minute.
Whatever.
What happened to Stephen?
You people.
What happened to Stephen? You can actually see me running across the bloody ocean right now to smack him about it. I'm like the Flash.
Just be less underpants. I mean, you just add a whole bunch of letters for no particular reason at all. So there you go.
Yeah. No, it's you guys had the right idea and got away from a certain type of government. Mm. You know, but that's it. You know.
Yeah. I noticed, like, you know, even on the British pound, they have the king, right?
Yeah.
And then
they do now, I think, yeah.
Yeah, before that, they had the queen.
Yes.
And I said, well, I was talking to Stephen last show, I said, the difference between the United States and Britain is that on our notes, we have dead people, you have live people. It's true. That's the queen was on it, and the king's on it now because... He's the king.
He's alive, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
we also have a lot of dead people on our notes. On the flip side of our notes, we actually have people of note. You know, some of the Scottish ones have Robert Burns. Some of the English ones have Shakespeare.
Yeah, but Scottish are not like real money, you know.
Apparently not. No, there's actually places. There are places in England that refuse to take Scottish currency, even though it's all served under the one government. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not joking. I've been challenged on using. And then you turn into a parody. And when you immediately become as Scottish as possible and shout at people, I think you'll find that's legal tender, mate. And that's basically what happens. But I've had my money refused. I've had Scottish notes refused down in England. They refused to take them.
Wow.
God, we even take Canadian money. We don't care. Money's money.
Yeah. But it's all minted through the Bank of England. In the Bank of Scotland, it's all legal currency. So that's one of the weirdest things over here. Yeah, it's when you go down and you would think you're trying to hand over a Monopoly £5 note. And they look at it, then they look at you. Then they look at it, then they look at you. Then they look around the room for help. Then they look at you. Then they look at the £5 note. Then they look back up. And it's like, I'm not trying to cheat you, mate. It's real.
It's real money.
You know? Can I just get a can of Coke and a packet of crisps, please? Without a scene.
So is the £5 Scottish note equivalent to the £5 English note?
Yes.
In value?
There's no difference.
Okay. That's absolutely
Seriously, and the £10 the same as £10. It's all British money. It's just for some reason, you know, and I'm not joking, some places will refuse to take Scottish notes. Because they think you are some sort of thief. Yeah, yeah, basically, I don't want to say that, but
they're ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Ignorant.
Uneducated.
That's a strong word. You can address your correspondence to Ian Carroll.
Go right ahead. I'll just put it all in my spam. It's fine. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I get so many.
Ignorant. Wow. Anyway, so the other thing is that today the world is changing. We becoming more and more, like I mentioned the skeletons, where people are absolutely upset because you're saying it's either male or female on the skeleton itself. And we know that this is the decline of religion. So if you look at it, this new thought process of the new wake process is basically a new religion taking the place of the whatever the former religions were of the world. But do you believe in that, or does that sound right, basically?
Honestly, no, I don't. I just think that people are choosing to be offended by everything. Mm-hmm. And it's particularly being offended by things that have got no need to be offended about. If someone who is a proven scientist says this skeleton came from a female body, then who cares about that skeleton that came from a female body? Simply because if it came from someone who died 3,000 years ago, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter, because it's literally just a piece of matter. You know, now what they're complaining about, what people are choosing to be offended about, is the concept that someone doesn't share their sensibilities. They're not complaining about the fact, for me personally, that that skeleton was male or female. They themselves do not want to see anyone. And I know plenty of people who are transgender, and I have no issues with this at all. But when it comes right down to it, I find that people are just now choosing to be offended by anything that doesn't tick the world belief box that they want the world to be crammed into. For me, it's a protectiveness. If I view the world through this special lens where I can be offended by what people say under any circumstance, then I am protected, because through my offence, I am right. And no one can argue with that, because it's my sense. I am the one who is offended, therefore I am the wrong party. I am the victim here.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the victim isn't here. The victim might be the soul of that person who says, oh, hold on, don't say I wasn't male or female. I was quite clearly female, and I had a great life, and I raised 6 kids, and I embraced my femininity. So we don't know. So for people to be offended by something that they can't back up.
Mm-hmm. So that brings up an interesting point, Stephen, is you are a medium, so you contact Do spirits identify themselves as male or female?
It depends how they want to be viewed. When I first make spirit contact, there is no gender, there is no emotion, there is no negativity, positivity, or anything attached to it. In fact, I've yet to come across a negative spirit in its pure form. Mm-hmm. I have had spirit.
Come over here, we have lots of them.
No, you don't. I've been there. But what you do have is spirit who emphasise what they were in life by presenting a negative front. Mm-hmm. So they can be recognised. That doesn't mean that spirit is now bad, because when emotions are a human byproduct. It's a chemical reaction in your brain that tells you, I like bananas, I don't like bananas, I'm offended that you even call it a banana. this is a chemical process that messes about with our heads and engages physiologically. Once we pass, the spirit does not need all this stuff. It doesn't need all this human baggage. And to be honest, I think, from my own experiences, it's glad to be rid of all this human baggage, because mm-hmm. that's what causes the problems in this life. If we could all look at things from a very neutral, not bland, but neutral perspective, then nobody would be offended, nobody would cause offence, and everyone would get along a hell of a lot better. But at the same time, when spirit present themselves, if I brought forward, for example, your grandmother, Ron, she would want to be represented as a female. So she would present herself with that feminine front. Now, if I were to bring across a member of my family who passed, I have to be careful of this, they weren't transgender, but they were cross-gender, so they cross-dressed mm-hmm. back in the day. That was as far as they could take it. I would have a pure soul coming forward who would then start to portray a masculine element, but would present themselves in a feminine way. And that would be the information I get out. I've got an energy coming through here. It's a masculine energy, but it's presenting feminine and showing me feminine attributes and feminine clothing. Can you understand that? And that's what I would say to someone. Does that make sense to you? Can you understand that information? And then I wouldn't ask for any more information. I would try and figure out why they were here, what the message was, what they were doing. Mm-hmm. So spirit will present itself in the way that it knows that you, and this is where things can get difficult. is that if spirit comes across and presents, and this is yet to, this has probably happened somewhere, but if spirit comes across and presents itself in a feminine way to someone who thought that their own, or who perhaps thought their own mother was, you know, of a different gender, and this is where it's going to become very difficult. If you grew up and you thought, you know, my mother was my mother, but really she was more like a man, because I think, and then in their mind they create this bubble, I think my mother was masculine inside, the same as I maybe feel feminine, or I feel masculine inside. So they start to create this reality in themselves that's perhaps nothing to do with that spirit energy. When that comes through, if I were to give that message to them, saying, I have your mother, and she's presenting very, you know, she's presenting this lovely feminine energy. Well, that's not my mother. I'm very offended by that. But that's them that's doing that.
Right.
That's not, that information from spirit is wrong. They're choosing to manifest and displace that on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sure that situation will be arising soon, because as I say, I have no problem with people wanting to have their own beliefs, but I have a problem when people start to force that belief on others.
Amen, and, brother.
And when people want you to see, only want you to see the world from their perspective. You know, and it's, we don't need to be offensive. We don't need to be hurtful. We don't need to be nasty. But at the same time, it's important that we understand the world from our perspective. And that's a big message from spirit that we want to take forward, is to respect others and their belief system. Now, obviously, the world is a mess because of religion. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about spiritual belief and humanity, belief in humanity. I'm not talking about how we as cultures have created constructs around religion for control and, you know, order and, you know, if you don't do this, you'll go to a really bad place. So you better do this. Okay, right. That's 90% of the population scared, right? We don't need to worry about that now. You know, that's different. The spirituality and the religion things can be two completely separate things. But yeah, so it's, I've yet to encounter that I get an energy come across and then someone comes up to me being grossly offended because they feel that I misrepresented their mother in some way. But it's just around the corner.
Right.
At which point I'm really going to have to bite my tongue. Because that's how that energy presented to me. So that's their problem.
That's in their head.
It's, but even so, Anne, is that even if that's how that energy presented itself to me, that's how it presented itself to me.
Right. No, I'm just saying that vision.
That vision of what they want,
is in their own head.
Oh, yeah,
They have to deal with that.
You know, because if I was wrong, they shouldn't have taken the message in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But they would then take it, and I'm still waiting on it. They will take it and then come back to me saying, I'm grossly offended by that. Well, why did you take the message? My mother was nothing like that. And I've had that before. It's like you're trying to give a message out, and you can feel it. Your energy's been drawn to one place, but someone's not wanting to take it. But you need to get the information out. So someone puts their hand up at the back, and you're like, right, I really want to get this information over here. So you move over to that side of the stage, right, or the auditorium or whatever you're doing, and you're talking at the person you know the message is for, but you're directing your vision. Or you're talking towards the person at the back, but you're directing your vision at the person at the front. So you let them know that you know that they know that you know that that's the one that's that they're actually wanting to talk to. But you're projecting yourself over at the back to, you know, Mrs. Miggins, the message grabber at the back.
Yeah.
You still get the message out.
God, the message grabber.
Oh, yeah. We know one of them, or a few of them, Ron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they come up to you at the end and say, that was a lovely message you gave me. Apart from this bit and that bit and that bit and this bit. And that was like that and that was that. But you're right. My dad was a man. And you're like, meanwhile, you're like, oh, no, that's fine. Thanks very much. But you know the message came out and the person who heard it needed to hear it.
Right.
It was just a utilization of that other individual. But even in those circumstances, is that you can't force a message on someone, but you can put the information out there and let them choose to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas if I were to go straight to that person and put them on the spot and say, I've got a message for you and you're going to take it. This is what they're saying. This is what they're saying. That puts them in a terrible position.
Right.
And that puts you in a very aggressive stance.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps this person didn't get on well with their father or their grandfather or their uncle or their cousin or their aunt or whatever. At that point, that's when someone could easily choose to be offended by what you did.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the world, as you said, Ron, is kind of shifting and changing, and it'll be very interesting. If you deliver a message from spirit that offends someone, what do you do about it when they tell you they're offended?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Yeah, I know. That's sad state of this hope.
And I think if you have a message from spirit, you should be grateful. You shouldn't.
A message is a message.
Yeah, you shouldn't be belligerent about it. Just take it.
The strangest message I ever gave, and it was one of the most funnily poignant ones, and I was standing on the platform, and it was delivered to this young younger woman at the front, and it was from my grandmother. And the grandmother was very, very religious. And the message was, you need to stop going to those stupid churches where they talk to the dead folk.
The what?
You need to go to those stupid churches where they talk to dead folk.
Oh.
Right? You shouldn't be doing that. That was the message. And, I said, the irony that I'm talking to your dead grandmother and giving a message from your dead grandmother to you to tell you to stop doing this is not lost on me. But she came up to me at the end and says, that was just my grandmother's personality. That's exactly what she would have said to me. But once that message was out and the message was given to establish the identity with the grandmother, then came forward this really nice message of healing and without giving too much away, it was like healing towards a kind of, not a marital breakup, but a relationship breakup, and that she was being watched, and she gave her evidence of her being there in the present and having seen things happen and pointing her towards a couple of things to help her out, and just gave her a wee bit of advice on how to handle things because she'd been through something similar. And the girl never knew that, and it was only weeks later she came back to me and said she'd spoke to her mother and she didn't realise her grandmother had been divorced in the first marriage. Little things like that are really good.
Yeah.
But it was just the way the grand came through. And it was quite funny because I could hear the clink, clink, clink. And whenever I hear clink, 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 I get worried because it's the sound of rosary beads clinking.
Oh, really?
And I keep thinking, it's like an 80s movie. The back of my head goes, wee-see! I'm in trouble now because I've got a very strong Christian religion, Catholic person coming right forward, and I know the first thing they're going to do is they're going to walk straight past me and stand there and talk and not look at me. But that's not what they're like in spirit. That's the energy they're presenting to me so that I can translate that across.
That's a riot.
All right. I know we're running out of time, unfortunately, but I do have a question
Sorry.
For you. No, that was excellent. This is from a book I've been reading. It says a number of Scottish families possess amulets or talismans that have been passed down to their families for generations. And they say, like, the stone of Ardvolich was possessed by the Stuarts. Other ones like the Stone of Standard or Clocknob. Oh God!
Yeah, give up.
Barak. And so each of these clans had these talismans and stuff. And have you ever heard of that?
Clocknob Rata.
I'm sure that's what it is.
For the Clan Donegal.
Oh, they get the Clad Bahui.
Clocknob Rata.
Bahui, the Campbells.
The Stone of the Standard, yeah. Yes, we all do that in Scotland. Yeah, we all pass stuff to... My granddad's skull's on the shelf behind me.
Wow.
No, I'm only joking. That was just that
first
story all over
again. Was it up behind the barn? I mean, what?
No, he's on the shelf behind me. He's looking at me. Same vacant expression he had in life. Still reeking of whiskey, even after all these years, can't get rid of the smell. But
still don't have his teeth.
Killing me.
Yeah. Still not rotted. God. It's just his head. He's just pickled. I don't know. I think there's a lot of really posh families that like to believe they're important, probably do things like that. But for the most of us, most of us in Scotland can barely afford to leave our
really
kids money, never mind anything else.
You're not really a member of the clan. You're just a transplanted Englishman.
Well, the thing is, my name's Scott. implies No. My name's Scott implies that my ancestors came from elsewhere.
Oh.
Because they would have adopted the name Scott to blend in. You know, adopted the name Scott, bought a ginger wig, cut a dress a bit shorter, and away they went. When I've actually checked, a lot of my ancestry and my DNA comes from Scandinavia.
There's
a high probability that I had Scandinavian ancestry that settled in the lowlands of Scotland, changed their name to Scott, because my middle name in the family I'm married into is Kirkwood, which is Shirka Wood, which basically means the church in the wood. So there would have been some sort of Scandinavian, Norwegian, Swedish type.
Well, I'm getting a message now from Spirit telling us the show is over, so I've got to wrap up.
Just as it was getting started.
I know, it's just getting good, you know, until we have all that.
So let's just skip the first 30 minutes next time and go straight to the second half.
Yeah, I know, we should do that. I apologize for that, Stephen.
Don't apologize to me. It's
I get a little punchy sometimes. Anyway, you've been listening to something here. Ghost Chronicles International right here. Ghost Chronicles
Generation.
Next Generation. That's right, with Dan Carrigan and Ron Kolick right here on TojiNet. Brought to you by Circles of Wisdom, 286 Merrimack Street, Methuen, Massachusetts. The Glant, Messy Appeal, Lidar Group, 15 High Street, out there in Massachusetts. And our very, very, very good friends, like Stephen Scott. Well, used to be. On Patreon. Thank you so much, Stephen. It's always fun talking to you.
Lovely.
Yep, always. Yep. It's always a pleasure. And my granddad, Scully McSkullface, he thanks you as well.
All right.
Yeah, I know he does. I've got my skull here, terrible. I'm happy. Good night, everyone. God bless and stay safe.
Good night. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Stephen.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
Good night. Oh.
Ghoulies to ghosties, long leggedy beasties, and things that go bump in the night. Deliver us, good Lord.